William Morrow and Hopper Audio present Queenie Malone's Paradise Hotel, a novel by Ruth Hogan, performed by Jane Collingwood.
Queenie Malone's Paradise Hotel by Ruth Hogan. Read by Jane Collingwood. Taken from a traditional Irish folk song. Her eyes, they shone like the diamonds. You'd think she was queen of the land. And her hair hung over her shoulders, tied up with a black velvet band. Part 1. The Zebra, the Horse, and the Kraken. Chapter 1. Tilda. My mother killed my father when I was 7 years old. Now, 39 years later, she is dead too, and I am an orphan. I haven't been back to her flat since the funeral on that hot and humid day in late August. And now the glowing colours and rich, earthy smells of autumn have been swept away by the cinereous hues and raw, salty winds of a seaside winter. As the taxi crawls along Brighton's seafront in the thick tea-time traffic, I can just make out the gunmetal grey waves smashing onto the pebbles. The lights on the Palace Pier are twinkling seductively in the late afternoon gloom, and even after all these years, they still spark a flicker of childlike excitement inside me. We pass the street where Queenie used to live. Losing that life still smarts as sharply as a paper cut. The taxi turns left, away from the sea, and stops outside a tall Victorian house. From the outside, my mother's flat is dark and still. As I turn the key in the lock and open the door, the silence and the musty air creep out to greet me, and the secrets of my mother's life, and mine, stir softly in their hiding places, waiting to unravel the familiar pattern of my past. I sleep soundly, and wake feeling shamefully refreshed. I say shamefully, because it doesn't seem quite decent that I should be feeling so chipper given the circumstances. It's like wearing a red dress to a funeral. I am here to pick over the bones of my mother's life, like some sort of domestic vulture, deciding which linen, china, and furniture are worth keeping, and which should be consigned to the charity shops in town or left to the mercy of the binmen. The silence has been banished by the measured intonations of a Radio 4 presenter. The musty air has been sucked out into the bright new morning through the open windows, and replaced by the altogether more appetizing smell of toast and freshly brewed coffee. I pour myself another cup and carefully butter a slice of toast, making sure that every square inch is thinly but evenly covered, and then repeat the process with thick-cut bitter orange marmalade. I cut it precisely into four triangles and place the knife perfectly straight to the left of the plate. Blade side inwards. These are the rituals that keep me safe. Outside, the sun is shining hard and bright, making the slab of crinkling waves flash and sparkle like cut glass. I'm tempted to open the French windows and stand on the balcony for a few minutes to feel the fierce wind buffet my body and lash through my hair, as if to underline the fact that I am still alive. But I resist. I'm not sure I know where the key is in any case. I'm simply trying to delay the start of a task that I feel sure is going to be both complicated and time-consuming. Deciding what to do with the furniture is not straightforward. I've already resolved to keep the flat, but whether as a permanent home or as a holiday flat and source of income, I have not yet decided. Either way, it will need furniture. The kitchen table is staying. Victorian stripped pine.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?